Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. April showers bring wild flowers here on Advanced. Brian Hagerle, what do I mean by that?
You mean that because of all that rain, the flowers are going to bloom.
You're right. And our saying normally is April showers bring May flowers. But actually, we're talking about wildflowers, which actually grow year-round in all sorts of conditions and temperatures. So we normally think of springtime as being the time for flowers, but actually we're talking about these beautiful flowers that actually grow and bloom all year long in some really harsh conditions. So maybe not very much soil, and the temperatures are really cold, and there's rocks that they're growing in and up on the sides of cliffs and things like that. So that's the beauty of wildflowers. You just never know where you're going to find them, and you are pleasantly surprised sometimes. You're like, wow, look at that, where this thing is growing. Okay, I had said hello to Brian Hagerle. He's back here for day two, and also Amanda Youngpeer is back for day two of Wild Flowers, our travel article on pages 12 and 13, and of course, I'm Bill Quinn. Now, before we move into today, let me get a thought from yesterday from each one of the panelists as far as maybe what they thought stood out or a key word or something like that. So first, let me check in with Brian.
I like how the writer used the phrase ferocity of color, describing the intensity of the color and how striking it is.
Mm-hmm. Great adjective as far as, that's a noun. Ferocity is a noun, meaning ferocious, the adjective, meaning a very bold, aggressive, and very clear and bright colors. So you can imagine oranges and blues and reds and purples and things like that that really stand out. Amanda.
I think for me, it was the phrase a wealth of wild flowers. It's not in our specialized terms or vocabulary focus, but when we talk about a wealth, I think yesterday Brian explained it well, that there's many of that certain thing. And we use that often in conversation, you know, a wealth of books in my room or in my library. So I think it's a very good one for listeners to remember.
Mm. Okay. So as we move into today, now yesterday we visited Mount Rainier in Washington, the national park there, and then we went to the southeastern part of the United States, Great Smoky Mountains National Park in North Carolina and Tennessee. And there's a highway there. We call it the Blue Ridge Parkway that actually stretches from almost from Washington, D.C., down to the western tip of North Carolina. It cuts through Virginia and North Carolina. And I know, Brian, you probably spent some time up on the Blue Ridge Parkway when you were going to school in that area.
Oh, definitely. It's a beautiful area, a beautiful drive.
Yeah. And this is another one of those places I would recommend to our visitors to the United States. If you're in that part of the country, spend a couple of days driving along the Blue Ridge Parkway, and you can make it down to the Smoky Mountains National Park. But up on the parkway, it's really unlike anything else that you've been on. It's a two-lane road that just meanders through the mountains, and it is just so relaxing, and it's just one beautiful sight after another. So it's a great, relaxing way to spend a trip. And along the way, there's plenty of small towns and great restaurants and little hotels. So it's a great way to spend. You could spend a week on this thing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, let's move into today, and we're going a little bit more international as we head to Canada, Ireland, and Italy. And first, we're going to go off to Waterton Lakes National Park, Alberta, Canada.
Waterton Lakes National Park, Alberta, Canada. Why? The park is at the narrowest point in the Rocky Mountain chain. Waterton also has an unusually high number of rare plants. More than 20 species are found only in the Waterton area. Western wake, robin, Lewis mock orange, white-veined wintergreen, This vast ecosystem not only features wildflower displays in the mountains, but in grasslands too.
Okay, Waterton Lakes National Park is right across the border in Canada, right across from the state of Montana, and actually it is it's like a sister park to Glacier Mountain, or actually Glacier National Park in Montana. And this is just a spectacular area, both of these parks. And the mountains, they reach up 12, 14,000 feet. And they've usually got snow and glaciers on them. Then they've got these beautiful crystal blue lakes at the bottom. And it's just spectacular. They've got some fantastic roads that are carved into the mountains. And you can go from one end of the park to the other and go along these roads with spectacular views. And also, if you go hiking in these two parks, whether it's Waterton or Glacier, you might want to take a little, like a bell with you, or have your keys dangling from your belt, because there are grizzly bears and brown bears out there. And you want to be aware of that. And if you can make a little bit of noise as you hike along, it warns the bears that you're coming and they will clear out. They don't want contact with humans. So you try and make a little bit of noise as you hike along to warn them, give them a chance to clear out of the area. So just a little tip there if you do go hiking. Beautiful. But be careful. Now, we're talking about wildflowers and why we should go see the wildflowers in this area. Why?
That's right, Bill. Why should we go to this park? It says it is because it is at the narrowest point in the Rocky Mountain chain. So maybe it would be quite amazing just to see and be part of the Rocky Mountain chain and just and see what it looks like at the narrowest point.
Yeah, the Rocky Mountains stretching up from actually, they begin down in New Mexico. It's the Continental Divide, goes up through in New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, and then up through Montana, cutting up here through Alberta, actually going up to Alaska. So it's a spectacular string of mountains, the Rocky Mountains. So I don't know if it's the narrowest point. Actually, after reading this sentence, I looked at a map and I looked at a terrain map, and I really couldn't tell if it was narrowest or not. That really doesn't matter, but it's just beautiful. So now Waterton has also has an unusually high number of rare plants, right?
That's right. Plants you can't find anywhere else, like the 20 species, and they list a few here, Western Wake Robin, Lewis's Mock Orange, and White-Veined Wintergreen. And those are quite unique. They're new to me, and I would like to see pictures of them.
Yeah. Okay, that sentence is a little confusing structurally. If you look at line 4, you see in the Waterton area, and then there's a double dash there, right? And then you look down as the sentence continues, and then you see Western Wake Dash Robin. And when I first read this, I was a little confused by this sentence.
Yeah, it looks like it's broken up there.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming, Bill, that that's actually the scientific or the name of that specific plant would be probably be Western Wake Robin.
Yes. And then the next one we see two more hyphens here. Mm. We see Lewis's Mock Orange and then the White-Veined Wintergreen. So these are all three names of the different wildflowers. Now, how do we describe this whole area?
Well, it's described as a vast ecosystem. Vast meaning very large, and ecosystem meaning part of nature. Ecosystem is just the system of nature and how it's made up.
Okay. Not only features wildflower displays in the mountains,
but also in the grasslands too. So the grasslands, large flat areas covered with grass, probably like a gigantic meadow.
Mm-hmm.
Put many meadows together and you get a grassland.
Mm. Yeah, we were talking about how these wildflowers can grow in alpine and subalpine areas in Mount Rainier. Yesterday we were talking about that. Rocky areas, tree-lined areas, that just above the tree line. We think of harsh conditions. But if you want to talk about in grasslands, just kind of look at the bottom of page 13. That will give you an idea of what we're talking about there. Some lush meadows, lush grassland areas when you can see wildflowers like that. Well, we've spent a good bit of time in North America, in the United States and Canada, so let's head across the pond.
the Burren, Ireland. Why? This area on the Atlantic coast of Ireland offers an amazing variety of wildflowers, Arctic alpine plants coexisting with Mediterranean plants. For instance, mountain avens and spring gentians, which normally grow high in the Alps, are found even at sea level, while Mediterranean species like the dense-flowered orchid and maidenhair fern are right beside them. Lime-loving plants, calcicole, and acid-loving plants, calcifuge, also grow side by side. Botanists come from all over the world to study the area. 75% of the plants found in Ireland are represented in the flora of the Burren, including orchids.
Okay, now we head to a place called the Burren in Ireland. And actually, the Burren is a park. It is a national park of Ireland. And it's confusing a little bit. There's actually a town called the Burren that's on the east coast of Ireland, close to Dublin. But actually, this place, the Burren, the national park, is on the west coast, actually directly across from Dublin, but actually it's closer to Galway, which is you could just take a train or maybe a bus ride straight across Ireland from Dublin, where you would need to be landing at the international airport, and it wouldn't take very long to get over to the west coast of Ireland. So this area is on the Atlantic coast, the west coast of Ireland, and
it offers an amazing variety of wildflowers.
Okay, so it does offer an amazing variety, and as we read this, you will find out there's a couple things about it that are amazing. So, we kind of describe this, why it is amazing.
That's right. You have these plants that are growing near each other in places which you wouldn't expect. For instance, the Arctic alpine plants, they're coexisting alongside the Mediterranean plants. So these are plants originally from vastly different ecosystems, but they're coexisting here.
Arctic alpine plants, of course, would be those hardy species that would be growing on mountaintops somewhere in the northern part of Alaska, and then they're growing right next to Mediterranean plants. They're going to be growing in, you know, very moderate climates, you know, like in southern France and southern Spain. So it's like, how do these two things grow next to each other?
Very unique.
It is surprising. Yeah. Now, we have an example there in the next sentence.
Yeah, we learn about two different kinds of plants. We have mountain avens and spring gentians. Now, mountain avens are actually very popular for rock gardens. So if any of our listeners want to use this kind of plant, you can use it in the rock garden, or spring gentians. They're very well known for having large trumpet-like flowers, and they normally grow very high in the Alps. So they're known for being in the mountains, but they're found at sea level. So that's very unusual for them to be at that kind of level.
Right, and much of the Burren is at sea level, and they are alongside Mediterranean species like the dense-flowered orchid and maidenhair fern, which are right beside them. So all of these different plants growing together, I think the coastal atmosphere does something with this. It becomes a more moderate and temperate climate, a little bit harsh there in Ireland.
That's right, Bill. And if I may jump in for just a second, I noticed here that it talks about things growing high in the Alps with a capital A, which is interesting because this is referring to the specific mountain range in Switzerland and Italy, the Alps. And earlier yesterday, we learned about alpine zones, which refers to general mountain areas.
Okay, very good. The next sentence addresses a whole different issue. Because we've got lime-loving plants and acid-loving plants, they also grow side by side. And when I say a whole different issue, it's because this has to do with the soil. And it's really strange that these, the calcicoles and the calcifuges, actually grow right next to each other because they both require distinctly different soils to thrive, but yet somehow they are able to thrive in this area. Okay. And this is so interesting, the variety of plants that grow next to each other. It's almost inexplicable, hard to explain, hard to understand. And because of this, what happens?
We see that many scientists from around the world like to study the area. Botanists are scientists, and they are plant biologists. And they love to come and see this because of the variety that there is. It says 75% of the plants found in Ireland are represented in the flora of the Burren.
Okay. Flora?
Flora meaning plants or vegetation.
Okay. All right. And what would we use for animals, Brian?
The term that describes the animals of a certain area is fauna.
Okay. Very good. So you might want to go see the flora and fauna of a particular area. So, and of course, there are orchids. There are orchids everywhere. The amazing orchid grows everywhere in every environment. And it's amazing, the variety of orchids. All right, let's visit our last destination for wildflowers. We head to Italy.
Umbria, Italy. Why? Sweeping fields of dark orange poppies are one of the main showstoppers. But the Pian Grande, the Grand Plateau, offers a variety of hikes through spectacular wildflower settings. Don't forget the beautiful medieval villages, friendly locals, and great food. The Jubio Double Ring Trail from the top of Monte Igno winds through a forested canyon, historic sites, and wildflowers. Another option is Monte Cuccio, with incredible displays of wildflowers and, on a clear day, views all the way to the Adriatic Sea. The park has mineral springs, caves, and is also home to wolves and golden eagles. Parco Nazionale dei Monti Sibillini in Norcia offers abundant spring and summer wildflowers, with a landscape dotted by castles and fortresses. Above the tree line, you'll find rare species, such as the Apennine Alpine Star. Another feature of the park, if you're too tired to hike, try a mule trek.
Bill Quinn here with Amanda Young-Peer and Brian Hagerle. We're on our last section of our two-day travel article on pages 12 and 13 titled Wild Flowers, and we're talking about destinations for people to go see wildflowers. So they're great destinations for your vacation, and you might want to combine these with some other activities, but it's a good way to spend some time in nature on your next trip. Don't necessarily just spend your next vacation hanging out in big cities and hotels and amusement parks and casinos, but actually get outside, walk around, get some fresh air, and see some beautiful scenery, and you'll be glad you did. And one place you might be glad you traveled to is Umbria, Italy. And we'll see why in this section.
Well, it's because of the sweeping fields of dark orange poppies, which are one of the main showstoppers. And if you've ever seen dark orange poppies, they are quite a sight for the eyes.
Showstopper.
Showstopper. We see in our vocabulary focus something that is extremely impressive and very popular. So if it's a showstopper, it means that everybody really liked it and they want to go back and see it again and again.
Okay. We were talking about the sweeping fields here, and then we see in this next sentence, but the Pian Grande, the Grand Plateau, it offers what?
A variety of hikes through spectacular wildflower settings. So you thought that the dark orange poppies were pretty good? Wait till you see the Grand Plateau.
Okay, just for your information, Umbria, Italy is actually in central Italy. It's just slightly northwest of Rome. And so if you did go to Rome, you could get to this section very easily. I think about a 3-hour bus ride, would get you to this area where you could see these wildflowers. So it's actually very accessible. So whether you're in Rome or Florence, you could come down from Florence and go to this area. It's right in the center part, north central part of Italy. So, and since it is in Italy, it has some of that Italian charm.
That's right. It's not all about the scenery. There are also beautiful medieval villages where there are friendly locals and great food.
Okay. So I would love that, just to go see the flowers and maybe visit some small towns and villages and get some very authentic dishes there and some great little tiny restaurants. So now, talking about this park, though, again, we go back to a place called the Gubbio Double Ring Trail.
That's right. We see it's from the top of Monte Igno, and it winds through a forested canyon. So just if you thought the wildflowers weren't enough, then you can head into a forest and see some historic sites and even more wildflowers.
All right. And if that doesn't satisfy you,
then you might want to head over to Monte Cuccio, where there are incredible displays of wildflowers, and even on clear days, you can see all the way to the Adriatic Sea.
Okay. Well, the Adriatic Sea, of course, would be on the east coast of Italy, and actually then you can see across this, and over there on the other side would be, for instance, the Croatia. That is what separates Italy and Croatia and Serbia and Montenegro and those areas over there. So the Adriatic Sea. And it's interesting because you would still be in the center of Italy, and that you would be able to see over across the sea is amazing. So you're going to be pretty high up.
Right.
And a high up elevation to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, in addition to wildflowers,
the park has mineral springs. So you can see those. They're very natural. You can go into the caves that they have. And it is also home to some different animals, wolves and golden eagles. So both being very spectacular animals themselves.
Wolves? That's amazing. Yeah. I wouldn't think of wolves in Italy.
No, I wouldn't have thought of that either.
Yeah. All right. So there is plenty of wildlife there. Now, this park there, and I know Brian wants to say this park. Do you want to say the park?
I do. Okay. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
How about Parco Nazionale de Monte Sibillini in Norcia?
Ooh.
Wow. Well done.
Oh, very good.
Makes me want to eat some of that Italian food.
Yeah. All right. Well, what about this place? What does it do?
Well, it offers abundant spring and summer wildflowers. So abundant meaning a large volume, a lot of spring and summer wildflowers. And the landscape is also dotted by castles and fortresses.
I like that. That's really pretty cool. So some of these historic sites you can see, you actually can see castles and fortresses from before. So, and then we had talked about it in our first place we visited, Mount Rainier, getting up above the tree line and alpine flowers, and we kind of get back to that concept here.
That's right. The tree line is very important depending on the weather temperature. And so here we find that there are a lot of rare species that grow, such as the Apennine Alpine Star. That's a very unusual flower to see. And then we go on to see some further features of the park.
All right, and that is if you're tired of hiking, if you're hiking along to see the other features in the park, well, you can do what?
You can try a mule trek. So you can ride on the back of a mule and go along at a leisurely pace as you admire the scenery.
Ride on the back of a mule. How about that? Would you do that, Amanda?
I think I would give it a go. I would need to check whether the mule would be quite comfortable. But I think the other things that I would see may make up for that.
Okay. All right. Well, for our feature today, we join a couple, and they are deciding where to go on their vacation.
So, Alan, where would you like to go on vacation this year?
Well, Karen, I considered visiting baseball stadiums all over America to watch games, or a trip to England and a week of attending English Premier football matches.
Oh, another summer holiday spent at sporting events. That sounds so exciting.
But after thinking about it, I thought you might prefer an extravagant tour of national parks and nature preserves to see wildflowers.
What? You're kidding!
Not this time, Karen. No sports tour this year. For you, a fascinating foray into flora.
Alan, I'm so touched.
I didn't know that you would want to spend our vacation hiking alpine trails or lush grasslands seeking wildflowers.
I've changed, Karen. I'm getting in touch with my sensitive side.
Are you feeling okay?
I feel great! Here are some possible destinations with flowers that are real showstoppers.
Mount Rainier, Great Smoky Mountains National Park, Waterton Lakes National Park. I'd love to see these places.
Or, if you prefer, how about a trip to Europe? Say, Italy or Ireland.
Oh, I've heard of Umbria, Italy, with its rare species above the tree line. And the Burren in Ireland, which is right on the coast.
So, what will it be, Karen? North America or Europe?
Both! Alan, let's just quit our jobs and spend all summer looking at wildflowers.
That's a great idea! I'm tired of sitting at a desk all day. I want to be one with nature.
Oh, Alan, you're the best husband in the world.
I know, Karen. I know. Boy, that Alan is the best husband in the world, don't you think?
Well, if he wants to go to Italy, I think that's pretty good.
Oh, he's willing to take his wife on a trip to North America and Europe, spend all summer looking at wildflowers. And in fact, you just heard the audio version of that feature. Make sure you go to our website, www.studioclassroom.com, click on Advanced Topic Talks, and you can actually see the video of that exciting feature. What else can they do at our website?
Well, they could go into the English corner and see what people are talking about there. Or if they have any questions, they can write us an email at letters@studioclassroom.com.
And don't forget to check out our Facebook page, where you can check our advanced updates every day and respond.
Yeah, I often check our Facebook page, the Studio Classroom page. In fact, I try to check it every day. Maybe a couple of times, and sometimes I'll leave a comment or two on there. So I'm always interested in finding out what our listeners have to say about the articles. Or just let us know what's going on in your life. I'd like to know that too. Well, thanks for joining us here for this travel article. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Amanda.
And Brian.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.